roll.
Are we ready?
Ready.
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 The following presentation, I can't even mess with the volume or anything.
It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
Ow.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord.
Here.
Carol the Cat.
Present.
The Giddy Geeker.
Here.
And Tiffany the Technician.
I'm actually here.
Bueller. Bueller. Cause to effect,
but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey
stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first.
You know.
The hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Missed again, Stormtroopers. Oh, episode 171.
Woo!
Wow.
Whoa!
It's a lot of episodes.
Oh my god.
Wow.
She lives. She lives.
We didn't hear Tiffany in the first episode. She's here now. So, well, did you listen to 168 and 169 when you were here?
Totally.
Yeah, so you know who played your part, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It was
no protest at all. Okay, great. All
right. It was not Henry Cavill. So 171, we are back here with Donna and Wes from Donna Scott Productions, who
Hi.
Have Eat the Runt coming up. So how was your night in the basement? Was it okay?
Basement.
What I got a little bit basement? Of a crick, but I'm okay.
Right. Yes, it's lovely down there.
How's Field doing?
Field is awesome.
Field, oh, okay.
Best
tour. That's just where we're going?
Okay, it's a tour. It's a split decision.
So make sure you go check them out. Donna Scott Productions,
yes.
Two N's, two T's for Donna and Scott. And Eat the Run starts September 7th through the 23rd. And it is 8 characters, and each night the audience gets to pick
Who
plays what role. So they have actually had to learn all 8 roles. To hear more about it, go back to episode 170.
Okay, and if I'll see you guys later.
You have to stay.
I stay, okay.
Yeah, I know she's Tiffany the Technician, but that's actually you.
Yeah.
I'm completely confused.
I know.
Am I in the play now?
No.
Oh, okay.
You may be, yes. Start
okay.
learning your lines now. You'll
that's
have
right.
a backup.
Oh,
it'll be
very
great.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Keep,
never
yeah.
know when you need that.
Yeah, so definitely check that out,
yes.
And thank you guys for being here. So we have, for those of you who haven't listened in a couple episodes, we have flipped the switch, not looking at you, Tiffany.
You totally just looked at her. What are you talking about?
You're gay now.
It's an audio podcast.
Oh,
nobody
right,
knows.
Right. Sorry, I forget.
All right, so we actually do.
The camera.
We actually do our moment of silence at the beginning. Not that we're ever actually silent.
No,
because it's audio.
This group,
it makes
no.
for bad radio. But we are gonna just pay homage to a couple people that we lost this week. So first off was Sunny
Landham. Did Tiffany kill them?
Yes.
Yes, that's why she wasn't here.
Okay.
She had to,
they had to go.
She's out on bail, which I don't agree with.
She was just tired of hearing about those
very
jerks.
Busy. It was 3 people.
So since Stephanie is here, these 3 people are dead.
She's like John Hinckley. She's trying to get Henry Cavill's attention.
Oh. Very high profile here.
I know. Hey, Tiffany, before I forget, guess what?
What?
There's going to be a Gilmore Girls panel at Dragon Con.
What?
Yes.
Oh,
and I'm not going to be there.
I know.
Oh,
this is what I'm saying. All right. So anyway, Sunny Landham from Predator.
Predator. He played the Indian dude in Predator. And
oh, he was awesome.
He was awesome. Pretty, kind of a dick in real life, but he was great in that film.
Speaking of dicks, we also lost Dick Gregory.
Saw what you did there.
Yeah.
That was
good.
Yeah.
Worst segues ever.
Yeah,
I get the award every single time.
It's like saying dick
so.
A lot. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, and not with Dick Rowan or Dick Martin, but moving right along the dick trail, we do have Jerry Lewis. We lost him as well. All of France is sobbing, and we're pretty sad too. But you know what? I have to say, this week, our list of rest in peace is a little bit older.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not that anybody wants to come to the end, but
91 for Jerry Lewis.
Yeah,
I
think
88 for
lived
Dick Gregory.
Life.
Yeah. Sonny Landham was the youngest. I think he was 69 or 70.
Well, that's a good number to go out on. That's
yeah,
all I'm
that's
saying.
True.
Yeah.
Has Google fixed it yet that it's not Jerry Lee Lewis who's dead?
Yeah, I think
they
did.
So. I don't know. Oh, yeah, they messed it up.
Oh,
it was so bad that Jerry Lee's son had to go out to the Twitterverse and said, no, he's right here. He's playing tomorrow night. He's not dead.
Good news, gracious.
But yes, he was, yes.
Still alive.
Still alive.
Still alive.
Jerry Lee Lewis is still alive.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Is that's right. Marrying a 13-year-old Hazel?
That's right. Ow. Keeps you young.
If you don't know what that means, geeklings, don't look it up.
No.
Or you can just pick up that.
You know, nowadays she'd be in her, she'd be in her 60s or 70s, and it'd be fine.
That's true.
Right.
Totally fine. I robbed the cradle. He's so, Matt's a full 6 months younger than
I am.
She's
a cougar.
Oh, all right. So moving right along. So Stranger Things, the creators are already planning for its end. So we haven't even gotten season two yet.
Damn.
We did get an announcement that they have picked up season three.
Right.
But the Duffer Brothers.
Duffer Brothers.
I'm sorry. You're from North Carolina. Please come to the Geek Out. They've actually announced that they pretty much think it's going to be a four-season run and done. And you know what? I have to say that I respect somebody who actually knows when the end is not.
Yeah, I don't think you can actually pull that off longer than four seasons.
Right.
At that point, it would start to get really cliche.
Right. And then, you know, I mean, those kid actors, that everything, the whole dynamic will change because, you know, junior high to high school, you just aren't the same people.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It already looks like they've changed a lot from, you know, between the two seasons.
Right.
A little bit that I've seen.
So.
Yeah, because they've been hitting the convention circuit pretty heavy. And you can even see just over the summer, they're growing. These are kids that grow like weeds. And it's
One of the things they were saying, it was... it just doesn't make sense.
Plus, they're
sense,
full of the fifth dimension, so they're, right. you know, they got that trying to come out of.
Yeah, right. But they were saying, you know, it just doesn't make sense that people would stay in a town where bad things happen every year. I'm like, Jessica Fletcher did it. What are you talking about? But again, old school.
Well, that's because she was the one murdering
everybody. I know. Total fan theory, right?
Yeah.
If you're the one doing murder, she wrote, and you are also murdering, it helps out.
Right.
So, there
right.
you go. All right.
You know, there was actually a news story about a Chinese author who wrote murder mysteries, and they just picked him up for killing six people. Six or
it
seven.
It was research.
Finally, the cop's like, you know what? And that's exactly the crime scene I just investigated.
He wrote books where the author was the murderer, and she got away with it.
Wow. They're like, nobody is that
blatant. Wait a minute. Yeah. He thought he was
being really meta, and then he got busted.
Yeah, and then they busted.
So I have to confess, I didn't write Murder, She... Is that how that series ended?
No.
Was she killing everybody?
No.
Oh, that would have been so awesome.
It would have been.
Oh, and it turns out it was Angela Lansbury all along.
No.
The last thing she types in, it was me.
It was me.
This is a phenomenon in the geek world that they come up with fan theories that if you go back and think about the series, it would blow your mind. So, yeah,
I like it.
But yeah, yes. It could have been cool.
That would have been better.
So what was not cool? Joss Whedon's ex-wife.
And her blog of infamy.
That's what I called it. but she recently posted a blog.
Mm. Yeah.
And said some pretty harsh things. So... Donna, I know that you had mentioned that you had some thoughts on it, and feel free to share. I have some opinions, too. I don't know if they're popular or not.
Right. I haven't done the research that I think I need to do, because I feel like it's a touchy situation. It is a divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, they were divorced for like 20 years.
Right. They were, yeah.
And, she recently came out and did this whole blog post saying that he was not the feminist everybody thought he was, that he was actually having all these secret affairs on all the different sets, and wasn't a very nice guy.
Yeah.
And now, they were just divorced, or they were divorced 20 years ago?
They were married 20 years and are recently divorced. So, and is my understanding of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's
It's been a minute, but she evidently felt compelled to...
Right, the divorce is final now.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why she has written this manifesto.
Huh.
And, you know, I don't even, like, I mean, I wish I knew what to think about it. I only know of it. I you know, it's like that thing that you really don't want it to be true, but...
Even if it is, though, does that, like, diminish
your... Yeah, I'm not sure that you can't be a feminist if you're sleeping around.
Just be a slut.
I mean, that's...
Can you not be a feminist and a slut?
I mean, if he was... Let's back it up a minute and just say he was a single guy. So it's not affairs. He's just... Right. He's just...
He's just, you know. I'm assuming it was all consensual.
He's just a horn dog amongst a set. Consensual. He's not attacking anyone, but he keeps just dating everyone.
Now, I understand why
he can't
she
be a feminist.
What if he only dates feminists as well?
Right, yeah.
So just to give you, I quickly looked it up because I realized that, you know.
Let's get the
talking about. So first of all, they were married for 15 years.
15 years, sorry.
They were actually quietly divorced back in 2012. So it's been, it's been 5 years.
Okay.
She penned an essay about the director. It was published by a publication on Sunday. A spokesperson for Whedon said he's not going to be responding because it includes several inaccuracies and misrepresentations. And he feels like it would be harmful to their family because they
So therefore,
kids.
He's not going to respond.
They do have kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that the response?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the spokesperson.
Oh, the spokesperson said he wasn't going to respond. Oh, okay.
She wrote that it was her idea that he turn Buffy the Vampire Slayer into a TV show. She also claims that that's where he had his first secret affair.
I would have fucked David Boreanaz too.
Same here.
And,
I don't think that's who he had the affair
with. She also wrote that he never conceded. He never conceded the hypocrisy of being out in the world preaching feminist ideals. And they have two kids. They have a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old. So I can understand where, like, he doesn't want it to be a he said, she thing, said thing.
Right.
But at some point, you have to come out. But, you know, I think it's really interesting that she comes out and says this right after all of the hoopla about the fact that he's going to direct Batgirl.
Yeah. And
he got some awards recently,
too. Yeah, he did.
From some very prominent feminist organizations. So I feel sure.
I just don't understand how this negates his feminist views.
Yeah.
He didn't respect her. Doesn't mean he doesn't respect women. Gender.
Yeah, the gender. I mean, I consider myself a feminist, but man, I could list quite a few women I have zero respect for.
Kellyanne Conway. Anyway.
I'm not, saying that doesn't necessarily make me less of a feminist. I just don't think, I'm tired of the whole you're a feminist so all women everywhere have to be placed on a pedestal and you can't say anything about any woman anywhere or you're no longer a feminist.
Right. I think this is similar to some of the stuff that we were talking about kind of in between episodes where it's like both Donna and I as people who've run events where you feel like you have to make disclaimers left and right and somebody's still going to find something to be upset about, and it's like whether I'm upset with somebody because they did some. I just think that there's a line, and if he did have affairs, I'm just not big into infidelity. I'm kind of like
that was not agreed upon in their relationship. Yes, she has caused a divorce.
But isn't infidelity a different question than
feminism?
She's like, well, I didn't get to make those decisions because I was not an informed partner in this deception. I didn't know the infidelity was going on, so I didn't have a
choice. You have every right to divorce him. That is a very good logical reason
to divorce him. And complain about
his
unfaithfulness. Right.
But I don't think you can just say, well, he's not a feminist because, wow, look what he did to me.
I mean, so I don't...
Is she making a big deal out of the Buffy part? Because I think that's a little more interesting.
Yeah,
if Buffy was her idea, not his idea, then she's...
Then
that would be more
handle.
Interesting.
It's
yeah.
like, okay, so...
The blog situation is really more about, I think, trying to... discrediting his, his feminism.
That's...
And his
what
support
like.
Of women, I think, is the other thing that she talks about.
I think
about.
As women, you just start to feel... I think we're living in an age where you just feel like if you say too much about anything, somebody's going to get upset about something you said. But there's a part of me that says, okay, I don't know this person enough to know whether or not this was... a wine and drunken misery type of night, and that's what she wrote, and then she just decided to go fuck it and go forward
and
with
it. Yeah.
Or if she was really like, I've kept quiet about this for 5 years and I can't keep quiet anymore because other people are getting hurt by it. And I just don't have enough research on it. But I just kind of feel like, unfortunately, it coming from a wife or a husband about somebody else who's in the media...
Yeah.
Just starts to be suspect after a while.
Yeah, just screams
and it's
lashing out.
Yeah.
And no one's come back out to corroborate any of this yet, right? No one there.
As far as I know,
I haven't heard anybody
it's
about all these
it's
people jumping
new.
Out
yeah.
saying, oh, yeah, she's right.
I have heard several of his female co-stars come forward and say, that's not
the Joss we know.
Right.
I mean, I know Chris McCartbender has said that, you know, she and Joss did not get along, especially they didn't agree about the storyline and stuff like that of season 4 of Angel, and or 5, whatever one, when she ended up marrying Angel's son or having an affair with his son. And all that kind
but
of stuff.
But I would
stuff,
have been mad at him for just introducing Connor, because that
for
kid
fucking
sucked.
Real.
Yeah. But it's like, there's a difference between having creative differences, and some of what happened, she's admitted, was more by the show...
Producers.
Yeah, I was going to say showrunners, but Joss is a showrunner. Yeah. Show producers, rather than from Joss himself, so... Yeah. You know, but I think it's just one of these things where it's like, nobody's perfect. My God, I wouldn't want to be judged by what I did 20 years ago. I was a different person 20 years ago.
I think that is what people forget a lot of times. It's like, when I look back and I see these pictures when I was skinny, and I used to be like, oh, I wish I could go back and be that skinny kid. And I'm like, I'm not even that person anymore. That really was a different person. And it's like, we evolve, hopefully, right? As we have more, explore more experiences. And I don't know. I think after 5 years, too, it's like, I would hope, I mean, for both of them, I hope both of them would go on and have, meet other people and have,
and
you
especially
know,
for the
a new life, right?
Stuff.
I mean, it's just,
at some
especially
point
with
you have
kids,
to let go. And truly, as a feminist, she needs to decide her life.
Yeah.
And move on.
And not only that.
There are kids involved, you know?
Sure.
So.
The age of the kids makes this, the timing of this just so horrible, because they're at that very impressionable age. They're in their early mid-teens,
right,
and it's
yeah.
just like, you know, I get it. Write a tell-all book when they're in college or something, when they're basically, they're the people that they're going to be, but now you're just kind of, this just, and I'm not saying Joss Whedon is perfect and whatever, he probably is a bit of an asshole. He's in Hollywood. He produces, you know, and directs movies. I'm sure there is a bit of a, you know, an asshole streak to him, but this just reeks of, I don't. You know,
the fact that he's not responding makes me wonder if like she's like, oh, well, now he's gone from doing all these Marvel movies, and now he's not. He's gotten picked up by DC to do all these DC movies, and the kids are getting into high school, and it's starting to get expensive, and you better do this, or else I'm going to tell the world, kind of thing. You know, if you're not going to do it, then I'm going to let a publication give me money. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but those
that's
are the kind
it,
of stuff that kind of makes me
seems
think about.
Like,
yeah,
and you know. I'm sure there are several listeners who will probably look at that and go, you're not a feminist because you're coming on down on the man's side. And it's like,
No.
But you're really not. You're just saying you don't know.
We just don't have enough information, really.
Right.
We don't, I mean, I don't know enough about her. Like, I tried to do some background searching, you know, like to see what else had gone on, and I really couldn't come up with anything. I mean, and so, you know, it's just one of those weird things that's popped up, and I don't feel like I have enough information to understand really what's going on. It's a shame, regardless.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. You know, if that's what she went through, then I do feel bad for her.
Particularly if it was not, like, something they agreed on early on in the marriage or relationship or whatever. If, you know, he cheated on her, yeah, that's an asshole. That's a dick move.
And if she was doing it to bare her soul for personal healing, then great. But I don't think that asking allowing a publication to prove it is a personal healing thing. That's my concern. So, you know, at some point, something has to happen. So speaking of other things that make you want to scream, New American Horror Story Cult, the trailer is out.
Man, if you don't like clowns.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Don't be watching this one.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, I'm out.
So,
it's all clowns all the time.
Yeah, well, and it starts with the biggest clown of all, her screaming because 45 won the election. So.
Yeah.
That's as political as we get, folk. I mean,
tell me
in Conaway joke, and now I'm talking about 45. I'm done. Okay. So, what did you think? You're the one that watches AHS. We don't watch it.
After last season, I'm not sure how. Because last season just really was just kind of like, oh, come on.
And the trailer seemed like a lot of the original cast outside of Sarah Paulson is not there.
No, Evan Peters is there.
Okay.
And Emma Roberts is also
okay
there. So you got a few of them coming back. You probably didn't recognize Evan Peters because he has blue hair.
Oh.
He's the one at the very end with the blue
hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's not a hell of a lot to go on. It's a bunch of clowns. It's just trying to creep you out with a bunch of clowns.
It's like, is that going to be the whole season?
Even the mere mention of it.
Apparently the cult is a clown cult.
Oh my God.
But we don't really have a whole lot of information other
than... Are they insane?
Well, they're clowns and they're in a cult, so yes.
Insane clown. They're a posse.
Are they a posse? Yeah.
They're a posse.
I think it's,
yeah.
I think it's some insane clowns in a posse.
I didn't
that
see
could work.
Out.
We could do something with that.
<That's right.
laughs> We just watched a really, was it season 2 of Supernatural? There was a clown up. Haunted demon clown, and it was very
and just like last week we were doing the same thing. Honey, why are we watching this? I don't know. Do you want me to turn it off? No.
And leave the light on it when it's over.
Okay. Speaking of clowns and getting a little bit more information than what American Horror Story did,
okay.
I did actually see an extended kind of preview of it where they showed like a good this was before the movie I saw. They showed about a good 5-6 minutes. We actually heard Pennywise talk.
Because
you don't hear that in any of the promos.
Right.
And
you remember who was Pennywise in the first one?
Oh, God, yeah. Tim Curry.
Tim Curry, yeah. We looked that up earlier today.
The guy who is doing Pennywise actually sounds very creepy, and he's doing a very good job.
For our listening audience, Donna is sitting over here with her hands over her mouth, terrified,
God.
And all we're doing is talking about it.
I cannot. I'm going to have nightmares just from the thought.
It's the very first Georgie scene where he's in the gutter.
Oh,
and
God.
It actually, I think they've done a very good job with Pennywise, which is probably one of the reasons why I will go and see the movie.
Huh.
It just seems weird that they would do clown cult the year that they know Penny. I mean, we've known that It was coming out for a while.
Well, It is coming out. Actually, the timing of It is very apropos to the story because It in the books comes back every, it's every 20.
No, but I mean with American Horror Story also.
I think they were, I think they thought, well, and they're remaking It. You have these strange clown sightings.
Right.
Last year.
It's all clowns
it's in
all the time.
Guy.
Yeah, so let's do
Spooky
clowns.
Clown is the thing.
Let's not do a cable channel. Let's just
so,
not do a cable channel.
Frankly, I don't think American Horror Story can do any clown creepier than Twisty from the carnival season. So I don't know why they're trying, because that clown was bad.
One we were watching was pretty...
Bad Evil, or it was
bad
a bad
evil.
Clown?
Oh, Bad
oh.
Evil. Bad,
okay.
Bad Evil
the
clown.
The Supernatural clown from season 2 was pretty creepy, too.
Very scary, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, good. Matricula. Clowns are just kind of creepy.
Yeah, so... No, but we love you.
We love you.
Just don't wear the makeup.
Oh, is that a clown that you know?
Yeah, we...
she's performing at the gala, but she's from the same consensual posse.
So that is an actual... That is the actual
he's somewhat
name.
Less known...
Clown posse.
We like that one
posse.
Better. Yeah.
So talking about clowning around, Mark Wahlberg, spite of the bad box office of Transformers, has been named as 2017's highest paid male actor of the year, and he actually bumped out Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
No, Dwayne.
Wow. Look at the disparity here.
Well,
together.
wait, we haven't gotten
okay,
there yet. Don't take away my thunder, woman.
You feminists, you're all the same.
No.
I was thinking the same thing.
All right. So he was paid $68 million, edged out Dwayne Johnson, who was at $65 million. Now, technically, Dwayne actually made more because he's got... But his stuff wasn't
he's also
coming
on
out
television
until 2018
shows too. He's on Ballers. He's on,
yeah.
He's on a couple of shows as
yeah.
well.
But he is the highest paid male actor. So it wasn't in this article, so I had to go and look it up. And I wanted to see who the highest female paid actor was, which came out on the 17th, so like the week before.
Okay.
Emma Stone was paid $26 million. That makes her the highest female actor. She just beat out Jennifer Aniston and Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer Aniston was $25.5 million. Jennifer Lawrence was $24 million.
What the fuck are they paying Jennifer Aniston
that's
to
not
do?
I was wondering that was the same thing. That's what I wanted to ask.
Is
that just Friends residuals?
No.
Are they just paying her to show up on a red carpet?
Yeah,
she did a movie?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know at all. But this is the goal. I'm
well,
just reading.
Formal
how she
bosses,
did. Okay,
time
out. She was in Cake.
Yeah. Was that the title of that indie film, Cake?
Yeah. She was in Cake.
An indie film did not pay her $25 million.
No.
She,
no.
I think
it's comedies
now.
Too,
horrible
and stuff like
bosses.
That. So she's done some. She's done enough.
I haven't
stuff.
Flown in a while, so I haven't seen
Office
the Jennifer Aniston movie.
Office Christmas Party was about it that
yeah.
I recall.
But highest paid female actor. So here's the thing. $26 million for Emma Stone.
She's very good.
$68 million for Mark Wahlberg in Transformers.
For the happening.
and The Happening and Ted 2.
Stepdad was funny. Or is that what it's called?
Dad's 2 yeah. or
whatever. Daddy's Home.
Daddy's Home yeah.
2 is coming out that later this year.
Mel Gibson will be in that one.
Jesus Christ, Emma Stone won an Oscar.
So the one thing that I thought was interesting is that actually some of the male actors on Emma Stone's last production actually took a pay cut so that everybody's pay would be equal. Which I thought was kind of cool.
That was nice.
But let's do it the other way. Don't take pay cuts. Let's just pay everybody the same.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I thought that was really interesting and unfortunate.
I do wonder what Julia Roberts used to make during that like heyday. When she had probably a good solid 10-year.
Yeah.
Where she was in every movie.
I think she got up to about $20 million a film. That was kind of the cap.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, remember, that used to be, like, the highest you could
get. Yeah, there used to be less.
Maybe, like, you're not making more than $20 million.
It was a big deal when, Pet Detective, what's his name, helped me out.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah, was the $20 million man. That was a big, it's like, that's it. He's the $20 million man. Now we're at 68. Yeah.
For Mark Wahlberg. For Marky Mark.
Because they've gone back to the model of giving back end to actors now, whereas... For the longest time, they had taken that away.
Give them a straight
Transformers didn't have a back end.
No, but he's been in a bunch of other things that did. And it does. It's huge overseas.
International
is where all this money is coming from.
Yeah, there's a reason why.
For movies that we think are crap.
Yeah, they keep making these damn things because people in China and Japan go and see them.
Yeah, because you know how much English you need to understand to get Transformers?
No.
None.
Yeah.
So,
as a matter of fact, it works against you. You're better off not knowing what it is.
Don't even give me subtitles. Just the robots. Yeah.
Fighting Ninja Ninja robots. Yeah.
This is probably true. So, in better news, Katie Sackhoff, who we loved in Battlestar Galactica and Longmire, is going to be joining the cast of Flash.
Yeah, she's going to play a supervillain, and I'm getting the name here. Oh my goodness, the costume, if they use that costume, is a. Hello, boobs.
Hello.
Golden elixir person.
You haven't called me boobs in a while.
She's going to play Aminette Black, a.k.a. the Blacksmith.
It's not a big villain. I don't know why they chose.
Maybe I think because they're just they looking for a female villain.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll show, like, the... Because what she does is she can bond with metal with this golden elixir, so she can... become almost invincible because you have basically like a suit of armor.
Yeah, there's
blitz like all over.
There's
you.
Not too many female villains though. Are there too many?
They're all yeah.
In Flash.
In DC, yeah. Well, DC that they could use for sure, yeah. But
okay,
that seems like an odd choice to me. But I will think it's gonna be curious to see if they go full on with her wearing all bonding with the armor and
the
metal
armor
and all that stuff. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
So
she's a great actress. So
yeah, I'm just glad to see her back on the screen again. After Longmire ended, because I stood next to her at Dragon Con one time. We were in line for somebody, and I forget who it was, but she ended up coming sitting at her table. And it was one of those ridiculous line tape things on the bottom. So they basically give you a 4x4 space, and they just crowd you all in by cattle because they have. Masking tape on the floor that sends you in different directions in this serpentine fashion. So I literally had like my butt next to Katie Sackhoff's head, and I was like, I'm so sorry, but like I only have a 16-inch space to put my feet in, and they're 15 inches, so I'm sorry. But yeah, she's very tiny. She's very, very tiny.
Which is interesting, because she's not on the screen. She looks more a little,
robust. For conventions and stuff, that actors and actresses tend to be far smaller than they appear on the main screen.
Probably because it's, 50-foot screen.
Yeah.
So there you go. But anyway, so, we spent a lot of time on the news. I just want to quickly touch on a couple things.
Yeah.
If you were able to vote on the Tick video, Tick Save My Video City video that we had posted a couple weeks ago, thank you so much for doing that. The Tick is saving Charlotte. So there's an article on it on charlottegeeks.com. You should also go over there and look at the community calendar, which you can find by calendar. If you have an event you want to promote, you can go ahead and add it, like, eat the runt. Put that on there. And then just a a Ballantine Corral was here on our podcast. They're actually holding editions for their new season. The first edition is going to be by the time this podcast airs tonight, but don't worry, they're actually going to do a second audition, round of auditions on the 29th. You will want to go on the community calendar so you can click the link and register so that they know that you're coming. But make sure and do that. They're a really good cast. We really enjoyed seeing them. And it's a lot of fun. And you don't have to live in Ballantine to be part of the corral. That just happens to be where the performances, a lot of the practices are located. So, on to the Garter Bowl, shall we?
Yes.
So, Tiffany, tell us a little bit about Skill Pop, my friend.
So, Skill Pop is a website where people can list out classes that are available. And it's available for Charlotte, Raleigh, and Greenville. I don't know if that's Greenville, North Carolina, or South Carolina. But I don't live either in either of those places, so I don't care.
screw you,
Greenville.
South
Carolina.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. But I thought it was kind of a cool site because there's a lot of like random classes like that you would never really think of, like how to repair your car, how to blow dry your hair properly. Makeup lessons. So tomorrow I'm taking a calligraphy class. And next week I'm taking a hand embroidery class. And I thought it was pretty cool. I never knew that this website existed, but if you're an artisan that would like to teach a class, I mean, it's kind of a nice interface to, as a user, to go on. And
without having to start a whole business, you could just teach a class.
It kind of reminds me of like the old Learning Annex. Like back in the 70s, 80s when I was growing up.
It's a Charlotte entrepreneur that started it.
Yeah.
And it's a very cool situation. It's like you said, I mean, it's everything like they do like social media classes, like Social Media 101. They do marketing. And then they do like crochet, knitting, calligraphy, even cooking classes. It's a really cool thing to do.
Where are the classes? Wherever?
I think they are held around at different places. I think you just have to check and look. I know a lot of the classes, like they were doing also like a cocktail mixology class.
Okay.
Those, like a lot of them fill up really quickly and sell out. So you kind of have to be constantly watching, watching their site because they add new ones and stuff. And,
the thing that's cool is that you, like the interface is really good and you can see how many seats, like if it's sold out, it blatantly tells you very clearly that the class is not available. But typically, if it's sold out, the teacher's going to reschedule and schedule another one. Yeah. And then you can see how many classes are there. And the two classes that I'm taking, you can bring your own wine or beer. Oh. And they're both in co-working spaces.
Right.
So,
yeah. Neat. Very nice. So definitely check that out. Speaking of co-working spaces and painting, you read a new comic there, Starnslord.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. The creator Pascal Marco Veltris, sorry if I mispronounced that.
Pasquale, yeah.
Yeah, I read a 14-page preview of a comic that's coming out in 2018. But if you happen to be up at a fan expo up in Toronto, Canada. Hosers. or you like the McKenzie brothers, which are coming back. Oh my God, very exciting. anyway, the comic was really neat. It's called Painting My Life. And it's kind of a mix between, I would say, The Illustrated Man, Alice in Wonderland, and the animated series Gargoyles.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
So it's a real neat little blend of those three. But it's its own thing. But the protagonist is Alice in, like, she paints her life. And she's able to go into her paintings. Unfortunately, her paintings can come out. So anything
that's
she's
the catch.
Ever painted, yeah,
it's not just you going in. Stuff
it's sort of like
the
Illustrated Man, the tattoo. All have stories, and it's so she.
That sounds cool.
She kind of paints things to combat things she's painted before, and it's just really interesting, and it's very trippy and surreal. I think it really would lend itself. Since Netflix is buying up a lot of stuff, since Disney's pulling out, they might want to look at this really quickly because this could be a whole series. I could see it easily being like a TV series too. But no, very very good art and story are good, and I just think it's a great idea that borrows a little bit of things that have come before, but in a kind of a new presentation. So But yeah, so check it out, and it will be out in 2018, I guess. But you can, if you're up in Fan Expo, you can check it out. They'll have a 14-page
preview. Well, and rumor is too that we are actually getting some items from him for the Geek Gala Geeky Goodie Basket. So
ooh, thank you.
Look for that at an unboxing coming to you soon.
You could own it before.
So speaking of cool things on on Netflix, we had Defenders drop on Friday.
Yes.
And many of us have watched it.
Did you finish it?
I did not.
So did I.
Started it yet.
Mm, okay. So in broad terms, for those people who didn't binge watch it like evidently we did, so what did you think?
I think Iron Fist works far better in an ensemble cast than he did in his solo show.
Yes.
He's still the stupidest person of the group.
The most naive.
Well, yes, he is naive. He is still a little kid, basically.
I was glad to see he didn't have sneakers on this time with his suit.
Oh, I didn't really care about that. All I cared about was that he couldn't seem to button his damn shirt.
It's like, you're fighting. Why are you still in your suit? Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, I think Jessica Jones and Luke Cage are still probably the best things about the show. I love Matt Murdock. I love Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in this particular show, I think Jessica Jones and Luke Cage were really...
So what did you think about the villains this time?
I hate Elektra. I did not like her in season 2 of Daredevil, and I was very disappointed that they brought her back. I think the villains were the weak spot in this season. This season, obviously, was just to get it going and to say, hey, look, these are the Defenders.
They're never called the Defenders in the series.
No.
Is Sigourney Weaver the...
Yeah, she's like the leader
the next defender? Because no. I had the show on in the background. I couldn't tell you shit about it, but I had the But every fucking time I looked at the television, Sigourney Weaver was on.
Well, she was the bad guy.
She was the main bad
guy. So she was kind of the Vincent D'Onofrio in a certain amount of things. So
did we miss him?
Well, no. So I enjoy The Defenders.
Yeah.
We watched it. We watched it all in a weekend. And sometimes if I don't like something, it takes a while for me to do it. I didn't have to have any unicorn chasers for this one. I didn't have to have some happy moments like you would when Vincent D'Onofrio got a hold of certain people. But
it was rough.
For me, the only thing that was a challenge that I kind of felt the first three episodes were a little bit slower than I wanted.
Yes.
It took so long to get the four of them together when we already knew that there was a connection. I get it. I think there was, again, it's the first season of a series and you're trying to set it up.
Right.
It is only eight episodes, so it that helps, but I agree. Those first three were,
first two
were very tough to get through.
Yeah, so finally you were people know each other in the third season.
Did I rewrite? Is Netflix giving the Punisher a show too?
Oh, yeah.
Punisher's coming, and then at the end of The Defenders, without giving anything away, they definitely allude to the fact that Jessica Jones is one of the next seasons up, so...
Yeah,
It ends with information about her and where she's going. So.
And it also ends on the direction of where, I'd say 99%, where Daredevil is going to go from a comic book storyline that was really, really popular that Frank Miller did. But it was basically three words that somebody said at the very end. And that's all the hint you get, but if you know Daredevil, it tells you what that...
That's
going to
be.
Big storyline
it's
going to be. But.
So I enjoyed it. Was I like going, let's watch it all over again? No. I was like, let's go back to season 2 of Supernatural. But but I enjoyed it and I was glad for it. The insane thing was the people who like, it dropped midnight Thursday night and they show up to work with no sleep having watched all 8 episodes.
Oh, I knew people who actually took the day off. They didn't take the day off for the eclipse. They took the day off for Defenders.
There are people that
you can
like,
time shift the Defenders.
I know. You can't move the damn sun. It's gonna take.
There are people like at 8:30 that were like, just got done watching. I'm like, you started right at midnight when it dropped, watched it. I was
did
like,
did you pee?
It's crazy.
You know, did you just have a cup on the floor? We don't understand.
This is nuts. But
does Domino's just bring the food into you? I don't get it. Yeah.
I think my only issue with the show, I actually like the Defenders overall, but I think my only thing is that the power is kind of like sometimes like Iron Fist power, he can have that thing glowing like he like
for it, 10 minutes.
Like yeah, it's like he's it's like the butt of a lightning bug. Like it's just not shutting off. And the other times like he does it one punch and then he has to wait
to like get his
chi all set up and I'm like wait, you just had that thing on and you were beating up everybody with your fist and
maybe they were just showing that cuz you know
it ebbed and flowed a
without
lot.
Without giving a lot away, yeah. In the first episode, you quickly learn that he's basically been spending the past year hunting. So he's had time to practice what he had learned from the hand. So maybe they're trying to set up that he's still in that learning phase.
What was that? And then it was Madame Gao with her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of power discrepancies where they were like really powerful and like somebody would punch somebody and they'd be out and then next time they get punched like next episode by that person, nothing happened. And I was like, what's make going on? I mean, there's several things like that where I was like, wait.
Well, yeah. And so, it's like here we know how powerful she is and then she steps back in the shadows at certain times and it's like you could totally blow those people away. Why are you doing that? Yeah. So
the big headline on Entertainment Weekly was fun to see the or it was like basically fun to see the cast together. The show is very poorly written, but a lot of fun. Like, would you guys agree with that?
I do think there was a writing issue.
Yeah.
But I think it's a first season writing issue. They're trying desperately to just like get all the characters.
But see,
together.
They hit it. I mean, so I haven't seen it yet, but we saw all of Jessica Jones and we saw all of Daredevil season one. And I apologize, we haven't seen all of Daredevil season two. But Daredevil season one and Jessica Jones were so good.
I know.
So we're not used to this idea that this, first season is a slump. No, you guys nailed it. You know, so the idea that they're not going to nail it.
I think it goes back to the dearth of, you know, we're in this golden age of geekery where we're getting all the things and all all burners.
We're
and
getting
so,
picky.
Yeah.
I think that's what kind of made, you know, like the what.
That's right. Used to be the fist was enough. Now you got to know how it works.
Well, I think that, you know, when I went to see The Dark Tower, it was like, it was such a letdown. And people are like, well, they'll have like 8 more movies where they can do this. And I'm like, this is your kickoff movie. And I was like, I see better stuff on this, like on network television. Yeah. This doesn't make any sense. It's like
and they probably won't have any more movies.
Really, yeah, I just don't see it unless the foreign box office saves the thing.
And yeah, and I, you know, that's an interesting. I didn't see Dark Tower, but unless it's got a lot of action and things,
I don't think it will.
You know, it'd be interesting to see how that'd be a great question. How did Lord of the Rings do?
They did it in China.
Overseas did really well.
In China? All right, okay, good.
So speaking of movies that. Maybe bad Annabelle Creation. I finally went and saw it.
I did.
Commercials are so good.
I went and saw this because I saw Ouija 2, which was so much light years better than Ouija, the first Ouija film, which is everything wrong with horror today. Completely everything wrong with horror today.
Oh, no.
And I had a friend say, no, you should probably go see, and this is a person I trust who watches horror movies too. She's like, you should probably see Annabelle Creation because it's got that Ouija 2 thing going where... Because the first Annabelle was just... It was shit. It was terrible. The doll does nothing. Does absolutely nothing.
Okay.
And so I'm like, okay, I'll... You know, it's a $5 matinee. What the hell? It's not Ouija 2 good, but it's not bad. It's actually got some nice, cool scares in it. Tells you the creator. This is actually a prequel of a prequel because Annabelle is a prequel to The Conjuring. So this is a prequel's prequel. We're getting very meta here.
Well, it wasn't like Annabelle supposed to be like the same couple as The Conjuring, but not the same storyline.
It's the same couple that the Warrens,
yeah,
who are an actual couple.
You mean like in real life?
In real life, yeah. Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Oh, okay.
They're the couple that investigated the Amityville horror.
Oh.
What strikes me as funny about these Annabelle films is, of course, they get the creepiest looking doll ever to be Annabelle. You know, something that you would never put in any child's room because, Jesus, these dolls just
so you guys
look
remember
like,
Magic, right?
The oh, ad, shit,
right.
Yeah.
So I'm not,
I was one of those kids that got that thing taken off.
Because
I freaked when that commercial came on.
Yeah.
But they make this doll, like, creepy, completely creepy. But in real life, according to the Warrens, who have the doll, and it's locked in a case that you can't open because it's still possessed. It's a Raggedy Ann doll. And I understand why you don't want to do a horror movie around a Raggedy Ann
doll. I don't know, that might be scarier.
I know.
Yeah, if a Raggedy Ann doll came after me, I wouldn't have suspected that. That Annabelle doll comes after me,
I'm running like, I'm expecting that thing to kill me.
Feels like creepy Cindy.
No, he doesn't. But it's not terrible. I would probably give this a B minus.
Wow,
it stars
that's
the same
high praise for you.
Yeah, it stars the same little girl that was in Ouija 2, and that helps a great deal. But it's not a bad little horror film.
So how about Game of Thrones? I've seen horror on Facebook with people going, "Ah!" So tell me more.
Are you caught up? Mm-hmm. Okay, so
Donna's caught up.
We've gone beyond the wall. Okay. Stupidest fucking plan ever, Jon Snow.
I felt that way at the end of the previous episode. I was like,
yes. Like,
at what point do you think that you're gonna get some
one?
Of course, it worked out exactly. Like, they come across a group, a smaller
they kill
group.
One
they figure out that they kill the source
like
of
vampires.
It was like a little too convenient. The whole episode.
It was very. The whole entire episode was based on convenience, complete convenience, from timelines to how fast a raven and a dragon fly.
Right.
To how long Jon Snow can hold his fucking breath.
Right.
To the fact that, you know, Jon Snow said, hey, yeah, I'm going to take Tormund and Jorah and Beric and Gendry and guy number one and guy number two.
Yeah, there were a lot of red shirts that were expendable that.
And guess who dies?
Right.
You know?
One, two, and three?
Yes.
No, not them. They were my favorite. Yeah.
So, first off, it was a dumb plan. It was a really dumb plan. And I get it. The whole impetus for the entire episode is spoilers. So the Night King could get an undead dragon. That was the whole reason for this entire episode, was to kill off one of the dragons. And then have the Night
King. Was that the end? I missed that part.
Yeah. And have the Night King drag it
so
up.
So now we only have two dragon riders.
Well, then Night King's number three.
Yeah.
Well,
Night
right,
King.
But I mean.
He's got a blue-eyed dragon.
Yeah.
True.
But you could have done this so many smart ways, and this was a pretty... It was beautiful episode. I mean, the dragons are gorgeous. Mm. The action was pretty good, but there was just such stupidity about it. And
so does that dragon blow ice now? Is that like
that's
a frozen thing?
That's
what
I'm waiting.
It's ice and fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that the dragon has to blow ice.
Yeah,
and I'm assuming...
I feel like it would.
I think it will.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be crazy.
And I get why they're crunching time. Because, you know, they only have, what, 7 episodes left to finish this sucker? So they're crunching a lot of time. It's like, so somebody gets on a boat, and then the next episode they're at another place that would take 3 months to get to. I'm just assuming
that's
3
okay.
months have passed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But here, you've got Gendry running, apparently, for 3 days.
That was the most ridiculous thing
like
of all.
Like
it's like he ran around the corner.
I'm back at the wall.
Unfortunately, he didn't collapse until he was right within
there.
The range of the door. Yeah.
And they opened it right away.
Yeah.
They weren't like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Like they normally would be.
Right.
Davos was like, it's Gendry.
Yeah, it wasn't a trap or anything. He wasn't a white. They knew, oh, there's Gendry.
But it's just open the doors for him.
We
and
know
then,
he's okay because he doesn't have his hammer.
And then they get a raven out in like the next 20 minutes, and then a dragon comes
by. I read something where somebody said, why wouldn't they just think, let's take a raven with us just in case?
Well, that.
Like,
you know. But I'm, you know what? The time compression thing, I can just suspend my disbelief.
It's all
however,
set up.
Yeah, however fast a raven flies or dragon flies or Gendry runs or whatever. But my problem is with this compression thing, they're also compressing relationships. And I just don't buy Daenerys and Jon together in the slightest, and now they're supposed to be star-crossed lovers, and I'm just like, no.
I read today that they were saying back in the day that George R.R. Martin confirmed that the whole point of the series is for Jon and Dany to get together.
Huh.
So it's happening.
I read that too.
Yeah.
That's fine,
that
but you have to actually establish a relationship. And this
they're both attractive.
That's not establishing a relationship.
She saved him. So I don't watch Game of Thrones. I'm so far behind. But I did see on Facebook today where Peter Dinklage
shared a picture of Jon Snow and Jason Momoa and say, when you meet your girlfriend's ex. I loved it.
But the whole problem is, well, that, and I have to say, Kit Harington and Emilia Clarke on screen have zero chemistry. I don't buy this relationship at all. You've had four or five scenes together. Two of them have been antagonistic, and it's just like, I just don't buy this relationship. That suddenly
I don't think, I think I slightly agree. Maybe I slightly disagree. I think that I didn't buy it until the very end.
But yeah,
when he's like half dead and he's showing her all
the whole, but the whole thing is, this is his aunt.
Well,
yeah,
I know.
But nobody knows that.
I know, but that's like...
We already figured that out. And
but they don't know that.
Oh, they don't
know
that.
This is a show where the brother and sister are involved.
But
so that's less, that's
farther
away.
They don't know that. That's her point, is they don't...
But...
He doesn't know that
true.
But my problem
is... Chili knows, and we blew right through that, where she's sitting there reading, oh, and they added it all. Oh, shut up, we're leaving.
But the thing is, this whole time, they have shown Jaime and Cersei's relationship to be very not good. It has not been shown in a positive light at all. So to say, okay, incest bad here, but incest over here is okay.
It is interesting how your perception changes, because there are so many, like,
is she
Twitter...
Is, like, genealogical aunt or married into the family?
No. That's blood aunt.
No,
his father is her brother.
Actual...
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't know that
yet. But nobody knows that. Yeah.
Nobody knows
that yet.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling once he finds out, it's going to be like...
So is Cersei lying about that baby? Because I think
she's lying.
Yeah.
She's totally lying.
By the way, I've read an interesting thing today where they're saying...
It's not very feminist of me to think that, but she's
I feel
lying.
Like she is. She's trying to manipulate because she feels Jaime starting to
leave.
I know, I'll get pregnant.
I read an interesting thing today where they were saying that, I mean, obviously, the tension isn't there in the sense that nobody knows that Jon is a Targaryen, but that basically Cersei grew up wanting to marry Rhaegar Targaryen and, like, really, really, really wanted him... And then didn't, and then she marries Robert Baratheon, and you know all he loved was Lyanna. So then to find out this motherfucker is the production of the guy she wanted, and the guy her husband, the woman her husband wanted. I was like, interesting. If we could find out who he really is,
which I think is coming very soon. And then the other. You know, we go to Winterfell where the Stark girls are at each other's throats.
My Facebook page blew up today with this.
I actually believe that because they've never had a very close relationship through the entire series. That being said, everyone's like, oh, Arya's playing Littlefinger totally. It's like, no, Sansa's playing Littlefinger.
Yeah.
She has been since he showed up at Winterfell.
Yeah, I think that they are.
And I think Littlefinger's gone after next week. I think he's going to die.
He's the one. Somebody's going to die
really
soon.
He's going to die, yeah.
All I know is there are two buddy comedies that I would like to see. One of them is Tormund and Clegane, walking.
Yeah, that would be good.
I would also like to see the Brienne Tormund comedy after they all get together and have big monster babies.
I need Tormund and Brienne raising monster babies and the Hound living next door.
Right. That's the perfect show.
Watch the.
Are you listening, Game of Thrones showrunners? This is a better idea than the Confederate.
I don't think any of these characters are going to live to see the end of the series, but goddamn, I want to see that show.
I keep thinking, I thought last week was going to be.
It's going to be like, oh shit, they didn't kill Tormund.
I could feel that he was going, but he didn't. He came out of the ice.
Well, the Hound's got to get the opportunity to kill the Mountain. That's got to happen before.
And Bull's going to happen. Yeah, he's going to kill the Mountain.
Yeah.
And then I'm hoping, you know, pairing people off, I hope it doesn't, you know, they don't start just pairing all these random characters off. It just seems like they're starting to.
I don't think romance should be the point.
No. Quite frankly, I hope at the end of this series, nobody's on the damn Iron Throne. I hope the Iron Throne is, like, melted down to scrap metal, and you have a king in the north, and you have a queen in the south, and you have a king over here, and they actually get together sometimes and discuss what to do in Westeros. Which, you know, makes more sense than some...
That's pretty
hard to
remember.
And Westworld? I have a hard time remembering Westeros versus Westworld because I don't watch either. But
there's no androids in this one.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. And there are no dragons in the other one.
In the other one.
Yet.
Yeah.
I love that we all said it at the same time. So that's how you guys spent your Sunday Matt and I, Starnsler and I, actually were over at Charlotte Comic Con. So, huge crowd. Oh my gosh. Ran out of Muggles Markets postcards because I didn't bring enough, but that's okay. We had a lot of fun talking to a lot of people, got to hand out a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy swag. So that was amazing. We kept, I kept trying to snag one poster for us, and we kept giving them to cute little kids. It was really annoying. But yeah, so we had a lot of fun. The next one is up in December, but you know, huge shout out to Rick and Dave and Carrie for all the hard work that goes on behind the scenes. Record amount of people came through. Amazing costumes all around. Mm-hmm. Really cool stuff. What was your favorite costume there, Starnsword?
Mine was actually the one that won the group contest. It was the Teen Titans.
Yes.
And it was Beast Boy, Changeling, Starfire, which she looked almost exactly like Starfire. And then Terra, which I never see anyone dress up as Terra.
Yeah.
At any convention I've been to, so I was pretty excited to see
that. Yeah, and it was pretty cool. Of course, I like the hipster Muppet eco-friendly babies that was played by Lindsay Stewart and some of her friends. So they did a great job. She was Kermit the Frog saying it's not easy being green with a recycle sticker.
Wow, that's nice.
She did a good job. So, but yeah, there's some really cool pictures. You can see some of them on the Geek Gala page. So our next event is Dragon Con. We'll be there 1 week from today. So I finally gave in. I had to buy a scooter. I'm looking for cool ideas on what to do with a rental scooter for decorations. I've got a couple ideas, though. I'm kind of thinking that at a candy thing, and I could hand out lollipops as I would stroll on by the street.
You're going to hand strange people candy.
And?
We do that every time we go to a convention, really.
One day I'll do that. I mean, like, have you seen me at the Geek Gala, people?
That's true.
Speaking of Geek Gala, we are now under 60 days, people. Woo! We passed the 60-day mark yesterday. So, and less than 30 days to get your t-shirts. So make sure you go to geekgala.com, get your tickets. It's the coolest and geekiest Halloween party in the Carolinas. We're at record high sales, so if you don't get your tickets soon, we may not have enough room for you. If you cannot afford the Geek Gala ticket, which, you know, I understand, but that really sucks, and you should start working extra hours now, go to Muggles Market. Muggles Market's going to be from 10 to 4. We have some amazing things coming up. And make sure you're going to charlottegeekus.com website, because we'll be posting new articles about some of the stuff that's coming up as we wind down through the 60 days. And if you didn't see it, go back to the Geek Gala Facebook page, because we have an unboxing video for you. And Donnie, you came on it with me. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was so much fun. Unboxing is fun.
Some cool stuff.
Very cool stuff.
Before we head out, Carol, Bizarre TV?
So I discovered this little Roku channel called Bizarre TV, and it's quickly become my favorite Roku channel. It just shows a mixture of 70s and 80s really bad horror films. And the thing with this channel, like a lot of Roku channels, it doesn't tell you what they're showing. It just drops you in the middle of whatever is on at that particular moment. So I'm having to Google a lot of this stuff. And my Sunday morning was spent trying to figure out the movie I was watching where Bigfoot rips off a dude's dick. And... I'm not joking. Wow. So my Google search had
history. Well, and tell them... what the guy was doing.
Oh, he was taking a pee. He was just driving his motorcycle. He pulled over to take a piss, and then Bigfoot just reaches out from a bush and...
Oh, Bigfoot.
Rips off his... Does nothing else to this dude. She's like, I'll take that.
Hot
and
sausage.
That's it. And then, of course, the guy bleeds to death. And so my Google history actually has the term movie where Bigfoot rips off a penis. And for those of you who are really curious, it's called Night of the Demon. It's the 1980 version, not the 1956 or 86 version, the 1980 version. And there's also this really wonderful scene at the end where Bigfoot actually rips out a guy's innards and starts beating people with them.
Oh, lovely.
This movie is great. And I immediately bought it on Amazon.
Okay, so since you're the finder of cool things or bizarre things, there's a movie that I watched when I was 70s, 80s, and like the end of it was like some guy that was almost like a Frankenstein type of guy, because he was just kind of like, ugh. But it was like a 70s style show, and at the end the cops have kind of have him surround him, and they flick on these spotlights, and he doesn't know what to do, and the one guy that's kind of like trying to save him or calm him down is standing over there, and he's got a pitchfork, and he ends up starting shot put, you know, like going around in circles like a discus or shot put, and he's like, ugh! And it ends up.
I seem to recall
it,
that
it like pitchforks the one guy that was trying to help him.
Oh, that's.
I'm gonna have to look that up because it seems very familiar.
Well, but you have that's you have that Google Foo, so
that Google Foo, yeah. So yeah. Bizarre TV, look it up if you have Roku. Like I said, they don't tell you what you're watching. You have to either get there at the very start of a movie, or
so.
Google.
When you ordered this movie, is it Betamax that you're gonna get?
It actually came on an 8-disc. A DVD that has 8 movies on it.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
I don't know. It's $8. It's $1 a movie. I can see spending $1 for Night of the Beast. And I was like, oh, Cult Hooker Massacre. I can spend this. Yeah.
So funny. So if you're not watching something,
know,
you might
I'm
be
very,
listening to something.
Very special
Tell us
person.
A little bit about what you've been listening to on Audible.
So Audible, I've been... In case everybody doesn't know, I love some random classes, clearly, the skill pop thing, but, so I've been a member of Audible for a while, and, you know, when I'm in the car and I take long trips, I like to listen to a book, but what I didn't realize, and I just discovered, and, you know, I know everybody knows about Audible, but in case people didn't realize this, there's classes on Audible that you can buy and listen to, and... Like classes like Food Science and the Human Body, How Great Science Fiction Works, Understanding Japan, A Cultural History. There's classes on linguistics about how people interpret the way people speak. And each class seems to be, I mean, obviously it varies, but like pretty robust for the cost, which can obviously vary as well, but around $15 can be around 15 hours or 11 hours or something like that. And I've done samples of a few of them and found them really interesting. So in case people are interested in listening to something and learning something kind of in depth, I mean, Audible has it.
Yeah, and if you subscribe to Audible, you get a credit a month.
You do.
And you can just use that for anything on Audible.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think, oh gosh, I think I pay like $14.95 a month. For my
yeah,
Audible.
That's what I pay.
So we gave you some horror movies to watch.
Yeah.
We gave you some Audibles to listen to. We gave you a new comic to look out for. But most importantly, we gave you an amazing show that you need to go see.
Yes.
And
yes.
The coolest thing about it is it's from the 7th to the 23rd of September. It's how many performances?
I think 11 performances.
And every single one of them is guaranteed to be different. It's not going to be the same because it's 8 actors and you actually get to vote in which actor plays which part. And there's up to 40,000 different ways it could go.
Wow.
So make sure to check it out.
Yeah.
Donna Scott Productions. It's only a scant $30. And if you go opening night, you can go night at the museum over at the Harvey Gant Center.
Yeah.
Scant and Gant. I made that rhyme. Did
yeah.
You
and if you go on Wednesday or Thursdays, it's $25.
Well, there you go.
A discount for people that want to have some fun during the week.
Yeah. So make sure to go check it out. Go listen to episode 170. Shout out to Geek Radio Daily and... the Nerdbliss podcast, they've both, and Beard Power Time Machine, they've all given us shout outs recently, and we just wanted to thank them for their support.
Yes.
And we support them as well. So when you get done listening to us, go over and listen to some of them. And we'll be posting those links up on our website soon. So check that out and, you know, have a great week. Next week will be a little bit different because we'll be at Dragon Con. So if we sound drunk, we probably are.
We probably very likely are. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Except for Tiffany, who's not here, even though there's a Gilmore Girls panel at Dragon Con.
Oh my.
You'll have to like video the Gilmore Girls panel for her.
So. That means I'd have to go to it. And I think there's other stuff.
I'm expecting one of you to go to it and record it.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
I'll pay somebody.
Your expectations.
Here's $5.
$5.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Pilstokka. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.
Oh my God, we're actually listening to the end. Why are we listening to the end?
We always listen to the end. Just sometimes we listen and talk.
Oh.
Bye!